Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Well, a very good morning to you, everybody. Welcome to Roundup for Wednesday, the 7th of August. I'm Jodeci. Coming up today, we're looking to education. Students are failing in maths and also being refused enrolment in schools because they have been excluded from other schools. Old NDA Police Commissioner Andrew Costa is stepping away from the job at the end of his term, not seeking reappointment. And what about parliamentary standards in light of a kerfuffle with an ACT MP wearing a lapel pin with party affiliation, gold and winners at the Olympics? Let's see how we're going in France. And a lot more news, views, stories and entertainment throughout the program. Great to be back in the studio this morning. Minuses in the morning, frost on the grass, ice on the car windows, snow on the hill. One would say it's cold. This is the first winter I've worn pants right throughout. Now I'm stuck with all these shorts piling up at the bottom of the drawer as my pants now take over. I've also taken on wearing a thermal, as I'm doing right now. But by the evening, the hoodie gets put on. I'm feeling the coldness now. Some might be battling sickness. This is my point. If you're sick, simply stay home. I witnessed it the other week, walking around. This lady was walking around, coughing her brains out. Didn't even try to cover it with her elbow or anything, just coughing into the open. I thought to myself, how disgusting. So if you are sick, try stay home as much as you can. So go home. You know, we don't want that. The last month, you may have seen a viral video of a non-uniformed police officer stopping a shoplifter in Woolworths. The officer simply walks up to the offender, grabs a basket, and walks off. The offender left in disbelief. From the entire island going off course and becoming a ground to one of the worst openings we've seen at the Olympics, what a previous month we've had. The biggest news story was Trump being shot in the ear, followed by Joe Biden stepping down at the end of his term. So more on the US later on. And the program, the train upgrade, an $800 million upgrade for Lower North Island commuter rail, will see 15 minutes carved off of the train trip between Wellington and Masterton. The government said the current locomotive hauled train fleet operating on the Wairarapa and Manawatū lines was nearing the end of its life and was in critical need of replacement. The Wairarapa line has been plagued with reduced train speed, bus replacements and problems causing carriages to vibrate. Transport Minister Simeon Brown said new stock rolling out will be purchased and existing infrastructure upgraded to improve rail services for passengers travelling around the North Island. Delivering commuters more efficient and reliable travel options will increase productivity, support economic growth, and enable Kiwis to get where they want to go quickly and safely. The upgrade will increase speeds on the Wairarapa line from 90 kilometres an hour to 110 kilometres an hour, result in fewer temporary speed restrictions across the network, and provide more frequent services, he said. The funding will be used to buy a new fleet of 18 four-car units. The new trains are expected to be delivered by the end of 2028 with a higher frequency of services from 2029. Now, I think this is great news. Was it between 2021 and 2023 the Wairarapa line was upgraded? I think so. So it took 2 years to supposedly upload the tracks. But to be fair, it seemed to cause more delays. I haven't seen as many complaints about the Wairarapa line recently on the Wairarapa Communities page, but what I can say, it can be an unreliable service. From staff sickness to late departures delays, speed restrictions, as you heard, bus replacements, the list goes on. I'm just hoping with this upgrade we will see changes. The new locos are 4 years away yet, with more services added in 2029. So that's a while till we see something, but better to know that there is something. My quick opinion on Air New Zealand domestic flights. Now, for around about a 50-minute flight for two with Air New Zealand is over $700. This is to Christchurch. Almost half that, on the exact same days, you could fly Jetstar from $376. These were based on flights, as I said, on the same day. I've never flown domestically, but I've often flown internationally. And I think it's a real letdown by Air New Zealand. I think if you're paying $700 for a domestic flight, you're at least entitled to a business class seat, which you won't get because they don't offer business class on domestic flights, but you should be able to, and a whole bottle of champagne. I thought that was a bit crazy. Our first song for this morning, Billy Joel, Moving Out, Anthony's Song.
Mama out in Hackensack. Is that all you get for your money? And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out. Out. You have in mind, yeah, that's what you're all about. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Welcome back in. This is Roundup. Education, as we start this topic now. Our principal has tentatively welcomed the government's new plans for mass education, saying something needs to change, but adding the time frame is asking an awful lot. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon announced on Sunday that the government will roll out a fresh math curriculum to primary and intermediate students in 5 months' time, a year earlier than planned. The government will also spend $20 million for development and structured math for teachers at the Teachers Council lifts maths entry requirements for new teachers. And the Ministry of Education will intervene earlier and more often in schools that have been slipping behind in mathematics. Kyle Bruton, president of the Auckland Primary Schools Association, has said, "We needed something to happen. We can't continue with levels of achievement," he said. Education Minister Erica Stanford said this week that only 22% of year 8 students were at the expected standard of maths. So yes, something had to happen, Bruton said. The pace and the implementation is the price that's really going to test everyone, Prime Minister Chris Luxon stood by the government's timeframe. "We have a real crisis," Luxon said. "We wanted every kid in New Zealand, irrespective of where they came from, to have a shot at life. That means getting a good education. Also, if we're going to rebuild the economy, we want. If we want to be able to be the world's leading people in agri-science and what we want, you know, we want new people to build Northern Expressway from Auckland to Whangarei, we need future people in New Zealand to understand how to do all of that stuff. That starts with understanding maths. So that's a real crisis here, and it's important that we move quickly," Luxon acknowledged that the government is moving at pace with its focus on education and said, "It may be the other things to take a back seat, but that's entirely appropriate." Now, the study showed 22% were at the above curriculum level, 15% were less than 1 year below the level, and a whopping 63% were more than 1 year below it. Among Māori students, 12% were where they should be, 10% were less than a year behind, and 77% were more than a year behind. Luxon, who has frequently said education was a big priority for him, said it would make it harder to hit National's target for 80% of students to be at or above their curriculum level by 2030. Erica Stanford said the problem with the old curriculum was it was too large and did not include specific benchmarks for when students were supposed to have mastered different math skills. The new math curriculum would be more prospective and testing, ensure parents and teachers knew who were falling behind. Now, my quick opinion on the whole thing. Now, I get it. This is a problem, but it's been happening for years and nothing was done about it. And at the snap of the fingers, a bomb has gone off and really hit the nail on the head. Christopher Luxon said he is prepared to see schools deferring arts and music in curriculum to raise achievement in maths and reading. Some of the things he said are, how on earth do you get a four-lane highway from Auckland to Whangarei with future generations if they can't do maths? How do you become the world leading in agri-science if we don't have our kids knowing how to do maths and read properly? The study is focused between year 1 to 8 students through secondary those secondary school students are also behind. But it is taking away arts and music, the right thing. Maths, sure you need it. Maths is included in both art and music, and some students are obviously better at that. I think this move should only be taken to an extent. And the reason for that, we may be behind, so teach the basics. But has the government thought that maybe not everyone has a huge interest in the maths? Not everyone wants to build a four-lane highway. We won't live long enough to see that anyway, the rate it takes them to build it. Let students learn the best way they know how. And if that's not at the top of the maths ladder, then so be it. I'm 50-50 on the whole thing. I believe, yes, that is shocking, that only 22% of students are at the right level. I mean, I can tell you I was more than 1 year below because I was terrible at maths. Hasn't affected me, but then sometimes, you know, you do wish, oh, I don't know, that equation. It can be quite hard. But for me, it was English. English was my favourite subject. That's one I hammered. That's one I never gave up on. And that's one I still do now. But maths, I suppose it is important. Well, it is important. And I'm sure that with what they're doing with, you know, giving the curriculum a bit of a fuzz up, maybe that there will be some changes. So all the best to the students going forward, whether or not. But being hard on the teachers, I mean, come on, you're just practically calling a teacher an idiot. But that's what the government wants to do, then that's what they want to do. Three New Zealand high schools are refusing to enrol students kicked out of other schools in defiance of legal orders sent by the Ministry of Education. In the past year, the Ministry has sent 261 letters to unwilling schools, telling them they must enrol students excluded or expelled from elsewhere, new Official Information Act data shows. And while schools have in 251 cases now accepted the Ministry's orders, three unnamed schools, two in Auckland and one in Waikato, are refusing to comply. One Auckland mum believes Auckland's Mount Roskill Grammar School is one of the defiant schools. She believes it has unlawfully refused to enrol her son, despite him living in its zone and despite the Ministry issuing an April letter ordering it to accept the 15-year-old. They're acting like they're a private school, but they're a public school. They have to accept the child that's in the zone, the mother said. Since July 1st last year, 31 Ministry letters have been sent to schools and ordering them to enrol students or excluded students or expelled students living in their zones. A further 230 letters were sent to schools ordering them to accept students living outside their zones. Overall, 90 letters were sent to primary schools, 138 were sent to secondaries, and 33 to other schools accepting younger and older students. The letters, officially known as directives, are a measure of last resort and only sent to schools in exceptional circumstances, the Ministry said. They are sent to ensure all age students, including any who have been excluded or expelled, are able to receive the legal right to free education. The Warehouse Group and the attempted to take the Warehouse Group private has failed at its first huddle, with a deal launched by founder Sir Stephen Tindall and a private equity firm unable to gain support from another significant shareholder. The current scheme of arrangement doesn't have the critical shareholder backing it needed to process, Warehouse Chairwoman Jo Witters announced to the market on Friday afternoon. With that in mind, the board has decided to defer further talks until such time as the proposal receives wider shareholder support. In response to the news, shares in the Warehouse dropped by 13 cents, or 9.2%, to $1.28 late in the trading day. The $1.50 to $1.70 a share offer from Tindall and the capital valuer, they They valued the retailer between $520 million and $590 million, a premium to its near $490 million market capitalization on Friday. The offer needed to meet a 75% shareholder support threshold to progress. Tyndall owned about 50% directly and indirectly, while another 20% was owned by the Norman family, which owned Retailers, Farmers and James Pascoe. Your KiwiSaver. Well, it's the market and the KiwiSaver. There's one clear piece of advice for everyone worried about the impact of international share market movements of their KiwiSaver balance. Ignore it, provided you've got the right settings. Markets around the world were volatile on Friday, and to start this week, the softness in the US markets has been largely driven by concerns the central bank might cut rates too late to avoid a turndown. Intel's share price fell 26% on Friday to the lowest level in a decade. High-profile investor Warren Buffett was reported to have sold more than $75 billion in shares in the second quarter, taking Berkshire Hathaway cash pile to a record level. Dean Anderson, founder of Cornell Wealth, said all eyes were now on Japan, where the market on Monday had one of the worst single days in index history. There was a wider global ripple effect from this, not to that same degree, but which will continue to impact markets over the coming days. He said because about 60% of KiwiSaver assets were invested offshore, the scheme was directly affected by global market volatility. And as a little market at the bottom of the world, a local market performance is often impacted by these external global factors as well. For KiwiSaver's investors, many are likely to only have a very low percentage of their investments in Japan. In a high-growth fund, typically the biggest market exposure will be in the US, which is down about 4% over the past month, and looks like it may be down another couple of percent on Tuesday, US time. Of course, as investors, we hate losing money. They obviously love more wins. But in New Zealand dollar terms, it is an important reminder that the S&P 500 is still up 19% in 2024. I've got my Red Hot Chili Peppers T-shirt on today because I couldn't find anything out the drawer. So I thought it'd be a good idea if we played the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What about that? 8:17, this is Other Side.
How long will I slide or separate my side? I don't believe it's bad.
8:21 here on Roundup. The police, Police Commissioner Andrew Costa, will be leaving the police at the end of his contract in 2025. Costa's term will expire on the 2nd of April 2025, as he expects to finish his time with police on that date. A police spokesperson confirmed. Police Association President Chris Cahill said he acknowledged the long and valued career of the Police Commissioner. His appointment could not have come at a worse, more challenging time with the outbreak of COVID-19. This not only presented unique challenges, but limited the program of work he likely intended to introduce, Chris Cahill said. The tight fiscal environment has continued to present difficulties in making changes to the policing environment. The disconnect between frontline and staff and senior executive is often hard one to bridge, and the environment he faced has not been assessed with this. Costa was appointed commissioner by the Governor-General in 2020 for a five-year term taken over from Mike Bush. Anybody miss Mike Bush? I used to like watching him on the TV. Anyway, now I wish Andy all the best going forward, but one thing I can say, we need to get harder on crime. Part of the blame is the police commissioner, and the other part of the blame is the government. I believe the police were under-trained and under-resourced. I don't think Andy brung much change to the job. Crime has risen, and we hear of shootings, thefts, drugs every week, more than we'd like. Crime has gotten out of hand. The biggest problem we face in this crime is, in this country, is a meth problem, and tied up with the gangs, obviously. We really need to get tough. No more monkeying around, no more being scared. These young people are turning into vultures. It's not about wearing a silly patch anymore. It's about terror within the community. I get the gangs turn to the gangs because they are vulnerable, but that's not the way to go. The road is certainly tough, don't get me wrong, but drugs and crime just ruin it. You're not a member of society anymore. You just become a statistic, which is not what we want to see. We want to see people turn their lives around, which some people are, so good on them. Mark Mitchell's police minister can come in and throw as many recruits in as he likes, but it's not always about the number. It's about strategy, and so far, we don't have a strategy. Now, I saw a post yesterday, and it caused a bit of a spark within the community. Someone visited New Ward twice, so at different times. At 9:27 a.m., she went for her first shop, left, and then later on, she came back at in the evening, and she left at 5:58. Now, the company in charge of the car park has claimed she was parked there for 510 minutes, exceeding the 60-minute limit. But that's not the case. And now she's stuck with a $65 fine. Hopefully she can resolve this and dispute the matter. But maybe just be careful when parking at New World, because obviously the technology isn't great, or the guy on the camera fell asleep during the day. More on that later on. The US election. Oh, not so much about the US election, but let's talk a little bit of drama about the Trump shooting. So the shooting of Donald Trump, former US President Donald Trump's face was splattered with blood at a rally in Boulder, Pennsylvania, after gunfire erupted and hit him in the ear. Since then, there's been huge investigations into it, so we'll get the broad information as we can. The Republican candidate for this year's presidential election was quickly surrounded by Secret Service. Trump held first afloat as he was escorted to a waiting vehicle and taken to a local medical facility. Video showed the 78-year-old grabbing his ear, then dropping to the floor behind his lectern as Secret Service agents swarmed him. One of them shouting, "Get down, get down." Trump didn't get down. Several more shots were heard. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, has identified 20-year-old Thomas Matthews Crooks as the subject involved. The shooter was killed, as was an audience member, US media said, citing local officials. Two others were in hospital, both critical. All victims were male, FBI agents said. Eyewitnesses have told BBC News they saw a man with a rifle on top of a one-story building near the event before the shooting began. The director of the Secret Service resigned in the aftermath of the assassination attempt on former President Trump that unleashed an outcry about how the agency failed in its core mission to protect current and former presidents. Kimberly Chattel, who had served as Secret Service Director since August 2022, faced growing calls to resign and several investigations into how a gunman was able to get so close to the Republican presidential nominee at an outdoor campaign rally in Pennsylvania. "I take full responsibility for the security lapse," she said in an email staffed by obtained by the Associated Press. "In light of recent events, it is with a heavy heart that I've made the difficult decision to step down as your director." I bet you Trump said, step down. So that's probably why she stepped down. Local authorities and Secret Service agents were using different communication channels. So the police did know he was up there, but by the time it was communicated to the Secret Service agents, it was too late and the shots had already been fired. So obviously the Secret Service returned back and killed him. Since then, Trump is fine and being his usual self, slashing his opponent and dissing the media. President Joe Biden. Good old Joe, eh? He dropped out of the race for the White House, ending his bid for re-election after a disastrous debate with Donald Trump that raised doubts about the incumbent's fitness for office. Did anybody watch that over a month ago? That was, well, I want to say funny, but it's not funny in a debate. It's not funny, but that was terrible. The unprecedented announcement delivered less than 4 months before this election immediately upended a campaign that both political parties views as the most consequential in generations. The president intent on serving out the remainder of his term in office and then quickly endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to take on Trump and encourage her party to unite behind her. Since then, obviously, Kamala has formally been chosen as the Democratic nominee. She's also selected her vice running mate, which I can't think of the name of right now because I only saw it this morning. So I'll tell you what, once we come back from our next song, I will drop the name. I can't think of the name, but we'll get back to that. Parliament. Because of the kerfuffle over lapel pins. Speaker of the House, Jerry Brownlee, has advised MPs to take complaints to the Commissioner for the Parliamentary Standards, who has not received any yet, he says. He says he will be more vigilant in upholding standards, but the Speaker is not and cannot be omnipresent. ACT Party David Seymour, has also removed the lapel pin, which had previously prevented him from answering questions. Seymour and Brownlee had clashed the previous week over allegations of racial abuse against ACT MPs and the Speaker's response. ACT MPs then used their party pins in a move later dubbed Lapel Gate to protest the Speaker's handling of their complaint, refusing to take them off despite the display of any party logos in the debating chamber being against the rules. Brownlee delivered his ruling as Parliament resumed for question time yesterday. In recent days, there has been considerable public comment and interest on parliamentary standards. There has been considerable focus on the Speaker's role in curbing inappropriate behaviour in Parliament, in the parliamentary complex, in social media and other media. Sadly, this is not a new phenomenon, he said, referring back to the Debbie Francis report on cultural at the parliamentary workplace, a damning review which led to significant improvements. The report had recommended a commissioner for parliamentary standards to be set up to hear complaints, and Lynn Provost, a former Auditor General, began in the role last year. So how that all came about was obviously the attacks on Karen Shaw. She was very upset at the way that parties were very upset with her at the way that she was handling children's minister's portfolio. So they were saying some pretty slurry stuff, but I won't get too deep into that because it'll probably cause another debate for another day. Smith & Coohey, Auckland Department Store, Smith & Co. Will no longer close at the start of the year and will continue to operate on the city's Queen Street. So well done to them. On Tuesday, the company announced that the 144-year-old retail company was considering to continue operating, but on a smaller scale, by downsizing to one level instead of two. It means about 100 jobs will be saved, while unfortunately another 100 still face redundancy. The Newmarket store will also close earlier than expected at the end of the September. Chairperson Tony Coohey said a path forward had been found, albeit on a scaled-back footprint. Our Queen Street store remained largely in its current format until the end of January 2025, allowing for the annual family Christmas traditions to continue as planned, including the exceptional ground floor Christmas windows and the enchanted forest on the sixth floor. And then at the end of January, the store will briefly close. So if you go there in January and go, did they shut your line? No, they're just briefly closing for some minor works. Now, completely different to that, but I guess you could still say it's in the retail sector, but it's actually supermarkets. I hate supermarkets. I usually don't go into them because of how busy they get. You could go into Farmers, Mitre 10, and so on. People have decency and courtesy. But the minute they step into a supermarket, they don't. They leave their trolleys everywhere, take up the whole aisle, standing in front of that particular product you want. I honestly can't stand it. And I must admit, I get a little bit cocky, which leads me to the question, is anybody else the same? Anybody else do that? And if you do, here's an idea, which I was thinking about the other day. Click and collect. Saves you time. And saves you frustration. Our third song for this morning, A Horse With No Name, America, 8:31. On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and
things there were sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
La 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 la.
After 2 days in the desert sun, my skin began to turn. After 3 days in the desert fun, I was looking at a riverbed. And the story it told of a river that flowed made me sad to think it was dead. You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Very good morning to you. This day in history in 1991, as you may have seen on the book face this morning, the much-loved entertainer was just 43 when he died of heart failure, Billy T. James. Born William Tai Toko, the multi-talented musician toured the world with Māori Volokan show band in the 1970s, Volcanoes. He adopted the stage name Billy T. James because Australians could not pronounce his surname correctly. James came to the prominence in the television variety shows Radio Times, but he's best remembered for the Billy T. James show, six series of which were screened by TVNZ between 1981 and 1986. So there we go. The entertainment story for today, I couldn't believe it when I saw this, but here we go. It's believed to be the first time a big luxury brand has branched out into pet perfume, with the Comfrey offering to make every walk a fragrant and fashionable affair. A luxury Italian brand, Dolce & Gabbana, has released a perfume for dogs named after the co-founder's own pet. Now, here we go, Italian. I wouldn't say Fifi, would you? No, you wouldn't say Fei-Fei, because that's how it looks like. But I reckon it'll be Fei-Fei. But it's, I don't know. I'm not Italian. It's the alcohol-free anyway, and the firm says it has been safety tested and approved by vets. The 85-pound fragrance is described as an olfactory masterpiece, featuring Lang Lang mask and creamy undertones of sandalwood. The bottle features a 24-karat gold-plated paw print and is said to be inspired by the underwaving love of Domenico Dolce's loyal companion. Then I was sitting there the other week, and I thought to myself, Spotify, you know when you click on artist profiles and you see all their streams? I wondered to myself, I wonder who has the top streams. I was actually quite surprised at what I'd saw. But here are the top 10. 1, Blinding Lights The Weeknd. 2, Shape of You, Ed Sheeran. 3, Someone You Loved, Lewis Capaldi. 4, As It Was, Harry Styles. 5, Sunflower, Post Malone. 6, Starboy, The Weeknd. 7, One Dance, Drake. 8, Stay, Kid Laroi, Justin Bieber. 9, Dance Monkeys, Tones and I. 10, Heatwaves, Glass, Animal. Where are all the old songs? Where's Dire Straits and Led Zeppelin and the Beatles, Elvis Presley? Not even Michael Jackson's on there. In fact, the oldest song in the top 100 of, the top 100 most streamed songs on Spotify is Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. So currently 690 songs have surpassed 1 billion streams on Spotify. 95 have surpassed 2 billion. 13 have surpassed 3 billion. And Blinding Lights by The Weeknd is the only song that has surpassed 4 billion streams. Now, I witnessed it this morning, literally just down the road as I was pulling into here. Terrible drivers on the road. I see them all the time. Maybe you're one of them. Road rage, to be fair, I'm not much of a road rage person, but do call them an idiot, but obviously they can't hear me. In fact, I don't even beep. At the time I wrote this, I hadn't beeped, but I beeped this morning because I was genuinely quite annoyed. Just raised my hands in disbelief. I always ask myself, how could one be so bad at driving? So there's two sides to this. There's the bad drivers, who are genuinely clueless at what they're doing. And then you have the idiots, the risk takers, those who think they own the road. Twice in 1 week, someone had pulled out in front of me with less than 10 metres of braking distance. And both instances, how the drivers looked twice, could see me there, but decided to pull out anyway. Here's my advice to drivers like you. Don't. You're not an F1, you're not a NASCAR, you're not on the Indy 500, you're on a public road with other drivers. So drive responsibly, and don't treat it like a racetrack. I just get annoyed when I get cut off. But I, as a responsible driver, keep calm and carry on. Suits. After a few months, many hours of the day, I finally finished Suits. Well, how good is it, right, for those who have watched it? If you haven't, it is a comedy-drama series that follows corporate lawyers of Pierce and Hardman, but there's more than 3,000 name changes throughout the series. However, if you dislike Meghan Markle, I recommend watching from season 8, as she's the main character for the first 7 seasons. Harvey Specter, the best closer in New York, comes across Mike Ross, a smart young man who never went to law school, but under Harvey worked as a lawyer at the firm. Lewis Litt, by far a fan favourite, normally has feud with Harvey and other associates, but matures throughout the season. Originally led by Jessica Pearson for 7 seasons, the firm goes through a lot of drama, from plea deals to the biggest clients, Chase, and by far, this has to be one of my favourite series I've ever watched. Besides The Office, if someone manages to find a show that's better than The Office US, you come find me and I'll tell you you're wrong. Dad jokes of the month. My boss said, dress for the job you want, not for the job you had. So I dress as Batman. Number 2, when's the best time to call your dentist? 2:30. 3, what do cake and basketball have in common? They both need batter. 4, why don't fish play basketball? Because they're just scared of the net. And 5, what did the ocean say to the beach? Nothing, it just waved. Facts of the month, approximately 10% of people are left-handed. Left-handed, are you left-handed? 2, Venus is the only planet to spin clockwise. 3, competitive art used to be an Olympic sport. 4, the first commercial passenger flight lasted only 23 minutes. And 5, besides water, tea is the most popular beverage in the world. I've never ever had tea. Never ever, and I don't think I ever will. It looks disgusting. What up news? So, Masterton News, New World's decision to introduce a 1-hour car parking limit and a $65 fine for overstayers has been met with dismay from some shoppers. The store's owner-operator, Nick Bradshaw, said he just wanted a car park for our customers when they arrive. We're trying to make the best possible customer experience that we can, and that means that customers getting a car park when they arrive at the store. The move had angered one shopper. He said he and others planned on boycotting the store, which he calculated could cost the store at least $78,000 a year in lost custom every weekday for the past 9 years. Retired farmer Bruce McKenzie and a group of friends, all ex-farmers from out the coast, have met at the Entice Cafe opposite New World for an early morning coffee and chat. I've been parking at New World with no problem whatsoever from about half eight till ten, he said. Bradshaw, who with his wife took over the store last year, said they implemented the parking changes gradually over the last 2 months after observing their car parks were not being controlled. They weren't being used by customers, but witnessed people circling a car park time after time and driving off, he said, which he believed was because spaces were taken up by people visiting the nearby swimming pool, gyms and cafes. That's really sad for us. We put a lot of effort into the store, Bradshaw said. Stella complied with all necessary privacy requirements, and the terms and conditions signs were located at the car park entrances, so patrons were aware that they were in force. Before we go into the next subject, wrap up, because we've got the next song coming up, I would just like to thank Hank Barter for his 43 years service as a paramedic. So Hank has hung up his uniform and he's now retired. He spent time in the uniform in numerous roles throughout the country and has spent the last bit of his career at Wellington Free Ambulance. Some of us may have dealt with Hank and can say he's a top notch. Enjoy retirement and thank you for your service. Weather updates, there's no traffic updates besides if you're going out, you know, between Featherston to Martinborough near Wars Line section, there's just a 30k temporary speed limit there in place. The Wadded Upper region today, fine and frosty apart from areas of morning low cloud or fog, northerlies developing in the morning. Masterton, you have a high of 15. Burning Love is our last song for this morning. Elvis Presley, 8:43.
You kiss and leave me.
All right, 8:46. New Zealand's Liam Lawson will remain waiting for a full-time Formula One opportunity as Red Bull confirmed it will keep its driver lineup across the two teams for the rest of the season intact. Now the Kiwi will do his best bit to press for a seat in 2025 with a clause in his contract that will allow Lawson to leave Red Bull should he not be granted a drive by a certain date. It is understood that the date is in September, but while the door into the Red Bull senior team appears blocked for both Lawson and Australian Daniel Ricciardo, driving for the Red Bulls in 2025 is still up for grabs. With the season now in its summer break, it was expected Red Bull's decision makers would instigate a reshuffle given the dip of the form of the Mexican driver Perez. This week Lawson will be given an opportunity to impress Red Bull in a promotional day at Italy's Imola circuit and will be directly up against Ricciardo, so new Kiwi versus Aussie, currently contracted to the sister outfit Racing Bulls. It was expected Ricciardo and Lawson would have the chance to put their hands up to partner with Max Verstappen for the second half of 2024 in direct competition with one another, but on Tuesday, so yesterday, the Red Bull team principal Christian Horner empathetically backed Perez to continue after the summer break. The All Blacks, while he's no certainty to feature against Argentina, Blues first five Harry Plummer has been welcome in addition to the All Blacks camp as they prepare to face Argentina. For a standout Super Rugby Pacific season with the Blues, Plummer has linked up with the All Blacks in Wellington as they prepare to open their rugby championships on Saturday. The 26-year-old is an injury cover for Blues teammate Stefan Perofeta, who is managing a bit of a niggle. That will leave Plummer with the All Blacks for this week at the very least. Capable of covering both number 10 and number 12, Plummer would be a shock selection if he was to turn injury cover status into a test debut. The likes of Bowden Barrett, Anton Leonard-Brown and David Harbilly would theoretically stand in front of Plummer in his preferred positions. Perofeta's role as first five fullback cover would also leave him competing with Will Jordan and Ruben Love if he's to earn his first cap. All Black captain Scott Barrett is expected to miss the opening two tests of the Rugby Championships against Argentina with a finger injury. And absent that, we'll see vice captain Ardie Savea promoted. Sam Kane, Will Jordan and David Harvilly will be back for the upcoming Rugby Championship. Finlay Christie dropped and another halfback TJ Perenara is off to Japan next year. So far at the Olympics, we have 3 gold medals, 5 silver and 1 bronze, total of 9 medals at the 2024 Paris Olympics, placing us 12th on the leaderboard. Gold for the women's rugby sevens as they face Canada in the final. Congrats to them. Silver for Hayden Wild in the men's triathlon. 4 medals in the rowing, containing a gold, 2 silvers and a bronze for both male and female categories. Silver in sailing, silver for track cycling, and a gold in the canoeing. Well done, Kiwis, representing New Zealand well. And all the best over the next coming days. Now, Sean Johnston is retiring. So an emotional Sean Johnston fronted media on Tuesday at Go Media Mount Smart Stadium, saying that it has been a draining 24 hours since he had made his decision to retire at the end of the season. "A lot went into yesterday," Johnston said, "but it feels good knowing that I've made the decision, a little bit like weight's been lifted off my shoulders." "To be able to come out and say and announce it the way I wanted to. Departures can be forced sometimes. So for me to have control over this, knowing that there was something for me, an offer to stay on next year, but I've made the decision not to." So, up the wires, all the best to Sean Johnston, one of the greatest, as he retires this year. Right, I've had enough for today, so I'll see you next time. 8:50, have a good day. Say goodbye.